I'm Dave DeWitt. This is Tested from WUNC, a daily look at how North Carolina is dealing with COVID-19 and what we're learning about ourselves in the face of a global crisis. Today, trending toward a decision. Governor Roy Cooper is eyeing next weekend for a move into the first phase of reopening the North Carolina economy. But it comes with a lot of caveats and some guarded optimism.
As we get into next week, what I'm hopeful for is that our trends will be right so that we can move into the first phase and ease the restrictions in the stay-at-home order so people can do more things, and that we could do more to ignite our economy while still trying to maintain people's safety.
The key metrics and trends offer mixed messages. We've done more testing, and the ratio of positives to total tests is improving. That's good. But the 3 days with the highest reported number of COVID-19 hospitalizations have been this past Wednesday, Thursday, and today. That's not good. Dr. Mandy Cohen, the DHHS secretary, says we need more data pointing in the right direction.
So as I put this all together, I would say the overall picture is mixed, but we remain optimistic that these trends will be stable enough to move into phase one next week. We're going to continue to watch them closely.
So it's time again to check in on the numbers and trends with Rose Hoban, the editor of North Carolina Health News, and see if this guarded optimism is realistic.
Well, I mean, they say they're hopeful but cautious. So on Thursday, Mandy Cohen presented a bunch of charts and graphs, and, you know, we can see a number of trends there. So in keeping with what you do is you first the bad news, mm-hmm. right? And the bad news is that there's an uptick in the number of folks with symptoms of COVID who are showing up at emergency departments. What I'm not clear on is whether that includes the newly expanded definition of a case that came out of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention this week. I wrote to DHHS, and by the time you and I recorded, I had not heard back from them. But the CDC added these new symptoms that are being seen frequently and are now understood to be part of the list of symptoms associated with the disease. And those are chills, muscle pain, headache, sore throat, repeated shaking with chills, and loss of taste or smell. So that's one of the indicators that's, you know, sort of a piece of bad news. The other piece of bad news is that we still have more new cases in North Carolina, but, and this is a big but, we're looking more for cases, right? So this is where some of the good news is that we're doing a lot more tests, right? Number of COVID so the number of COVID cases went up by 61 cases on Thursday, and that was the highest one-day increase in positives. But they did 6,000 tests the day before, which is sort of, you know, more where we want to be in terms of the number of tests per day.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's one of those cases where if you look harder, you find more.
Right.
And then that's generating one of the positive trends, namely that the number of positives as a percentage of total tests is decreasing. And that trend is starting to tick downward a tad. So, yay. And then finally, hospitalizations are remaining relatively flat, somewhere between 450 and 500 people every day. From yesterday to today, so Thursday to Friday, we added only one more hospitalization in the state. And we have fewer people on ventilators. But also the thing about ventilators might be, you know, because of some of the newer understanding about how to treat people with poor oxygen saturation. You know, can I just say one thing? Like, you know, I do a lot of readings in journal and science outlets and medical journals. And I have to say, even though we're starting to get our arms around this disease, it's really useful to be reminded frequently that this thing has only been known to us for what, like 5 or 6 months?
Right.
So there's still a lot we don't know, and much of what we do know has been evolving. It's still a really fluid situation. And part of that uncertainty and this new knowledge is a reflection of that, right? So anyway, we have indications that the number of people getting seriously ill is not ticking up, and we remain under the surge capacity at hospitals. So also, like, yay. And a lot of hospitals, therefore, are planning on resuming elective surgeries next week. which is good for them because that's a main part of their revenue stream, and they've been slammed revenue-wise.
Right.
So the governor and the secretary are now telling people to get back to their doctors and take care of those regular screenings, you know, like getting things like their colonoscopies. And like you and I are both cancer survivors, so we know how important it is to get your cancer screenings.
Yep.
And they're cautiously optimistic. And the way that Secretary Cohen put it yesterday, they have four metrics and we have two green checks and two red checks. But I kind of think that emergency department uptick is concerning. And I'm wondering if we're not getting more folks from meat processing plants.
Well, let's talk about that. North Carolina Health News has been keeping a close eye on those meatpacking facilities in the state. It's a complicated situation, but what can you easily summarize about how they're operating now?
Well, I tell you, my reporter, Greg Barnes, has been really aggressive about reporting this. And, you know, he's located down in Fayetteville, so he's near the Smithfield plant in Tar Heel. And, you know, he drove over there and he's been talking to workers and whatnot. You know, we got a tip that the big Smithfield plant in Tar Heel was dangerously close to closing on Monday night because there were a bunch of sick workers. And I want to say that, like, just that plant alone produces, like, some measurable amount of meat in the country. So Smithfield responded in part by making this big public push that the food chain was in danger of breaking. You know, Smithfield is the owner of a plant in South Dakota that had to close because of a big outbreak there. And I think that got heard in Washington because on, I think it was Tuesday, the president ordered the meat processing plants to stay open. And now, you know, you can say these that they're being completely callous by having them stay open. But it's also, I think, you know, for the companies, I think they know it's bad business if all your workers get sick, right?
Right.
So we've heard from Smithfield that the way they're trying to mitigate some of the risks for workers is by spreading them out physically. They've got people on shorter shifts. They're having them go to lunch in waves rather than all together. They're putting up barriers between the workers. You know, all this is so that they don't expose one another as much. They've given people a bump up in their salaries. That being said, we're also hearing that some of these places are producing a lot of sick workers. We got a tip yesterday that a chicken processing plant in Lee County is producing a lot of sick workers, and we're following up on that. Right now, the biggest outbreaks in the country are meatpacking plants, prisons, and nursing homes. Like, those are the three places we need to keep watching.
Yeah. The legislature is expected to finalize a COVID-19 spending plan this weekend. What do we know about what that plan will mean specifically for hospitals?
Well, we don't. Because you know how it works at the legislature. The final plan gets done in a closed-door negotiation between the House and the Senate. And, you know, that's par for the course there. They were supposed to, you know, we were told they were going to negotiate it all out yesterday afternoon. And House Speaker Tim Moore said yesterday, Thursday, that he thought they'd be done by the end of the afternoon and told members not to leave. And then they came back around 4 o'clock. They were like, yeah, go home. And so they pushed things to this morning. Then there was this protest that I know you folks covered. And, you know, with all these gun rights activists, and I think there were a lot of people with weapons. So they you know, cautiously, they said, we're not going to come in tomorrow today. And they pushed it till tomorrow. And what we do know is that the House and the Senate took different approaches to this money, which is federal money that they're just now doling out to different places in the state.
Right.
The House put in $125 million to help support hospitals, and that was broken up by $75 million for rural hospitals, $25 million for teaching hospitals, and $25 million for the rest. But the Senate didn't have that. Their final bill had $61 million for for a bunch of entities, and included in that would be hardship grants to rural hospitals. Mm-hmm. So we don't know how hospitals are going to fare from this money. Again, I mentioned earlier that they're going to go back and start doing elective surgeries, which should help hospitals' bottom lines. But they've lost a lot of money, both by not doing elective surgeries and then also by all the money that they've spent in order to prepare and get ready for surge. So the hospitals are really, they've had a hard time.
Rose Hoban is the editor of North Carolina Health News. Hang tight, more in a moment. WUNC has canceled our spring fund drive so that we can keep the focus and our efforts on reporting and delivering news on this pandemic without any interruptions. But listener support is vital to our future, and will give our station the resources we need to continue to bring you the coverage you depend on. If you're able to support WUNC now, please give what you can. Every dollar truly makes a difference. You can give online at WUNC.org, and thanks. Frying Pan Tower sits 30 miles off the southern North Carolina coast. It's an old Coast Guard structure designed to warn ships away from the Frying Pan shoals below it. It's gained notoriety for hoisting American flags during recent hurricanes, a favorite cutaway for local TV. Richard Neal is the original owner. He won a government bid for it 10 years ago for $85,000. Richard is the kind of guy for whom social distancing is measured in miles rather than feet.
Well, if you're stuck out here, at least you got some Port City Java to make life good.
Richard says he and some COVID-negative volunteers are at the tower now, working on renovation projects and posting regular updates on social media.
Just remember, stay safe. When the virus is over and dead, that's one thing. But until then,
watch where you go, who you're around,
and take on your day.
That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Dave DeWitt. Will Michaels is our producer, Lindsay Foster Thomas is the executive producer, and Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. Thanks for listening. See you Monday.